It's the Call the Midwife After Show, coming up in two shakes.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
And welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us once again. This is John coming forward, sitting in the booth with
Tamara Berg. Hey, everybody.
Courtney Stewart.
Okay, so this week, Call Me the Wife, we have Valerie moving in, the Turner's moving out, Winifred sits in the driver's seat, the dreamy dentist puts a smile on not one but two faces. And let's start off with the, and I'm sorry to say it, but I would have said it in any other instance of another shocking update of Mary Cynthia. I'm sorry, apologize, but. But seriously, though, I mean, when it was happening, I just want to start there because that, to me, it was like, oh, my God, we are going to go there. And kudos to Anna C.
for coming up with this.
Totally predicted it.
Absolutely. Yes. Spot on, too, by the way. Mm-hmm. So let's just talk that real quick, and then we'll get into the Reggie story and the whole thing. But when it was happening and when you see Monica Joan, when she's in the Lynch mirror and she sees her, you're going, oh, and you're, I'm going, oh, my God. And the whole time I'm going, Anna was right. And
go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm just the imagery that the way they shot that with Monica, I mean, sorry, Mary Cynthia, you know, from Monica Joan's vantage point, walking through the little atrium there, so to speak.
Yeah, it was beautiful shot.
Beautiful shot. And then she looked so tiny and vulnerable and pathetic, especially in that shot, because whoever she was standing next to was just much larger. And then when you see her behind that glass and she's caged in, so to speak, and I was just going, oh, my God, they're killing me. They're killing this already was because of Reggie's story. I was already primed for that. But go ahead, Courtney.
That was so bad. No, I was glad that it hadn't happened yet, which I appreciate it. Because I was, at first I was like, wait, she has a little head on. Does she not have hair anymore?
Yeah.
And she can only talk. She's not talking. Like, what is about to happen? So I was really glad that they hadn't done it yet. Mm-hmm. But when they wheel her in the room and the door closes.
Okay.
Say what you were going to, what you said.
Now, I'm going, I wanted them to go farther. I wanted to see them actually put the thing. I'll tell you why. Before, when she did the scene with the nurse who was telling her, this is what we're going to do. I thought she handled it so well. Yeah. Mary Cynthia, her look and her face, and you can't see what I see when I close my eyes, and you could feel what she was feeling. I was wondering what would it be like to see them actually do that to her, to put the thing on, to put that thing in her mouth, and not to show...
we've all seen One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah, not to show the actual event, but to see how that would affect her, just that part of it, because she was so effective in that. I'm going, I wanted that... You guys didn't want
No. I'm sure it would have been brilliant, but I don't think I could have taken it. It was the door closing and seeing it labeled. I was like,
and I'm wondering if
there is that theory of it's worse in your imagination than it is.
No, that's what I'm saying. I would have pulled away. I would not have shown the actual event, but just the idea of her being that vulnerable and being, and because she says, no, I don't want to do it. And then they said, too bad, you don't get to decide.
Anyway. Right?
They're going to decide for you. And I just wondered, and maybe they had shot it, and maybe it was too much. Maybe I'm wrong in that. But I'm not saying it was bad by any means. I thought it was great. It's just that I'm going, well, I wonder how it would have felt, how it would have been envisioned if we had seen that.
Yeah, but haven't we seen her go through enough already with her attack?
We have, John! Oh my God!
We have. I'm
John
just saying.
John is a sadist. That hand on the glass was
so reminiscent of when her pitiful body was in that tub and they were bathing her and they were searching.
Talking about the hand.
That was a great callback, wasn't it?
I
cannot see her be shocked or be about to be shocked. Yeah. Like,
and further victimized, because that's how we are viewing it as being a friend. You know, they're saying that it's this effective therapy and that she, you know, she's going to be cured and it'll help her get well, but we all see it as just torture, essentially.
Yeah. And again, I did not want to see her go through it. I didn't want to see it actually happen.
No,
just the idea, because the way her face and without the little cap on her and stuff, and then the idea that they might put something in her, I was just like, oh my, and I don't know. But I got it for you guys.
So then cut to the car where Sister Monica Joan is crying.
It.
We must muster our cohorts. We must instruct our troops. An innocent is in danger, and one of our own is in a place of torment.
Yeah.
That's so awful.
That was horrible.
As so many of us were saying, you know, cue the Emmy or
whatever. Exactly. They can give or whatever give it
the,
all.
The BAFTA or whatever. Yeah.
But both of them.
Yeah.
Were
yes. They're both, yes. Amazing. Both of them were amazing.
And I love so much that they've put them back together because that's the connection that was made that was when she was victimized. Mm-hmm. And it was the one person who could be with her. You know, Monica Joan.
And in so many ways, I love that because, again, I'm so glad you brought it up because I was going to as well. The hand thing, because that previous series, when they had the bathing and stuff like that. And I thought that was great for them to call that back like that. And because, you know, we've seen many times the hand on the glass and everything, but because of that, from the previous episodes, I always thought that was extremely effective. Plus, we also had this story with the Reggie, because we have an innocent and then one of our own. And I'm going, well, because they're both the innocents, because she was innocent when she was attacked, and she's been innocent of all of the nurses and the sisters. She's been, I would say, the most innocent.
Yes.
And so it was just wonderfully intertwined that way, very dramatic from that.
Okay.
Courtney's breathing.
It was just too much.
Too much, right?
It was too much. Mm-hmm. This episode, I was like.
Yeah. Do you think it was because of the Reggie storyline as well? Because,
yes.
I mean, the Reggie storyline for me, so many great images.
Yeah.
And I thought he did another bang-on
job. Amazing job.
Yeah.
Daniel
Laurie
is his
thank
name.
You.
Casting,
thank
you're
you.
On top of it again.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so let's get into it, because we first start out the episode with the wonderful VO about cutting the cord.
Yes.
And so we had that theme running through. And just real quick, just point out some of the ways they decided to what's the word?
Continue the theme.
Continue that theme.
Portray the theme.
Yes, exactly. Because we have Reggie and his mother, you know, to some degree not cutting cord because he was needed.
A young adult.
And, you know, and they kept talking about how sheltered he was, you know, for obvious reasons and all that other stuff. But, I mean, in her death, there's a little, that cord, not a literal one, but obviously a metaphorical cord is cut. Mm-hmm. And we have Valerie, her mom actually taking her to her first day at work, and there's that
little
kind of
biscuits.
Cord cutting. I thought, wasn't that terrific?
The mom
takes
so sweet.
And
sweet.
Then, what else?
And the look of pride of her mother
at
that moment.
And then, so Reggie mom, and then later Vi, who's reluctant in the beginning, but then at the end, there's a full-on arc for Vi, and then her cutting the cord, realizing, no, he has to be here and grow and all this other stuff. And then we actually have Monica Joan recognizing Valerie because she was there cutting the cord.
There's the literal cord.
Yeah,
the literal cord.
And also with Crystal and her child, they made a point of cutting, making sure of that. So I just love the way they wove that in without saying it. They just had it all throughout.
Beautiful.
And I thought it was very well done.
Kind of classic Call the Midwife.
Yes, it is. Yeah, with showing about telling, but then keeping that theme running throughout, that I thought that was great. So, all right, so let's talk more about Reggie specifically, because when we first see mom and she's helping Barbara with the dress and then has a touch of gas or whatever, indigestion,
short of breath,
breathless,
and I went, oh no, they're gonna kill her.
I'm usually the dark one that's like, oh, this is gonna kill her.
Yeah.
I thought she's gonna get sick or she's gonna be somewhere and it's gonna be a challenge. I didn't know she was gonna drop dead.
Watch this show with John, because I'm now going to not watch it with you anymore, because John spoiled the Ivy's death moment. You also spoiled the Mary Cynthia moment for me, because there was a shadow of a second before when we saw her that it didn't register, and you're like, oh my god, it's Mary Cynthia. I'm like, damn you.
Sorry. You kind of knew when he was going to the hospital she was going to be there.
Some didn't.
You know, Tammy's great. If you ever want
to... She likes
she
to be
has,
surprised.
Oh, not only that, she has such suspension of disbelief.
I do.
Oh, totally.
She totally buys it. You know, I come from so much of the writing, so I'm always looking at it as the writer. I can't help it. Sometimes I'm ahead, sometimes... But anyway.
I want them to take me on the ride, and joyfully sit in the seat and let them.
And I often enjoy the show even more watching it through Tammy.
Aw, that's beautiful.
All right, so we obviously, Mom is having some problems, but even on that first experience with Reggie and Mom, we get to see, you know, how they handle each other. And I thought, you know, what a very full, interesting relationship, and touching, and, you know, when are you going to be back? And she's touching the clock, and I just...
And then what do you want for dinner?
Yeah, and like pudding and all this.
Such a great story. It was just sweet, right?
So much that you get through just, you know, as we've learned with writing.
Yeah.
You know, you get so much. You don't have to tell it all. No. Just show people in their world, and you get everything.
Yeah, exactly. And just the way Fred comes in, you know, and, you know, and he's the firm handshake. All that other stuff. And he's reading, you know, Reggie's reading the comments.
He's reading his comic, exactly.
And I like even mom saying, okay, now remember, don't touch the oven. And we have, you know, and he knows his thing and good lad. And
the last thing, I love you, Reggie. I love you, Mom. And he hands her her purse.
Yeah, they got their routine down.
Yeah.
And it's working. And then, of course, we go to the church. And then the sermon we hear Tom saying is, what is his line?
I didn't write it
Bring
down.
Me the It's about the
Your
children.
Children. It's about the children, yeah.
I'm looking for what you guys feeling while I find it.
So he's
suffer
talking.
The little children and let them come unto me.
Yeah.
And he's talking about not just the children, of course, but yeah. And
I just didn't want her dead. Like,
That
was so harsh.
Yeah.
It was harsh.
Yeah.
Keeling over right there in church.
Yeah.
Church.
I was like, yeah, but I mean, happens.
I don't know. If you're
going
to die, I guess church is a good place to do it.
Yeah.
When you've got a midwife across the way and a priest to bless you as you make your final
exit. Your
wife's
going to break. Good place is on the hospital.
Tom didn't hear the thump, though, because he was walking back to the altar like it was no thing. And she's like, Tom, help!
I'm Tom, little help here.
She thumped rather daintily.
Yes, she did. Mm. Yes, she did.
But and then when Fred and Tom have to go back to Reggie.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was so scared it was going to turn into even more of a thing. Like, he gave in pretty easily, but looking through that slot, they just wanted to kill me this episode, too.
I know.
That was too much.
And again, that imagery, after they've, you know, when they're talking to him and he says, Mom's gone to sleep and it's not going to wake up. And you think he gets it, and then you realize, oh, when is Mom going to come back from talking to God? And you're just going, oh, wow, okay, this is not...
Just keep stabbing
me. Now, here's the... But the thing that killed me was going into the bedroom and laying his head on Dad's
pillow.
And I was just, I'm not going to survive this. Like, I'm going to go back to being a cold-hearted bastard. Much easier.
It is, isn't it, John?
I was like, no.
They were really messing with our emotions this time.
And I know it's, you know, and some people say, oh, it's totally manipulative. I don't care. It's working. I mean, anyway.
It's manipulating us very well, so I'm mad.
So that, but that imagery right there was just him with the pillow, and because at the moment, in the beginning, I wasn't exactly sure whose bedroom it was, and it was just what. And then when I realized, I was like, "Oh my God!" And I don't know how much he understands what's really happened. Obviously, Mom's not there; she's not there at the time the clock was there.
Yeah.
But how much does you know, you just don't know, which is great because it's left to me. As the audience just go, oh my God, how much does he realize, and how much is this going to hit him later?
Yeah,
So that was the part that was kind of heart wrenching in this particular one.
Yeah.
So where do we go from there? Oh yeah, so they've got nowhere to take him. So Fred decides to take him home. Vi's not. Let's see. She's not. Not warm to this idea.
No.
But not bad. She's
got her life and her routine set down, and she kind of also thinks that she's not up to the task.
Not to the task, because, you know, she does. And you know, it's a good argument too, which is, I don't know that we're ready. He needs care,
and we don't know what to do.
I think she says simple person.
Simple person. Yes.
And he needs people who's properly trained. And
that's fair.
That is fair. And rightly so. Later on, she said, because he's so sheltered, we don't know if. I mean, the fact that they leave him alone, I'm going, and Fred's going, yeah, he's fine, he'll
be
left
this
on the wrong side.
Time.
I'm going, oh my God.
Come on, Fred.
Yeah.
I love that he's family, that Reggie's family, they're cousins, which makes me hopeful that maybe he'll come back.
Yeah,
in the season series someplace.
I was thinking that at some point, because of the way they felt about Lynchmere, that they were gonna hang on to him, and then, you know, but then the way they ended it, I was going, no, that was right too.
Yeah.
Right. Quick side note: Ivy or Violet, Ivy,
I know,
Lily,
exactly, the
Rose,
Ivy,
Jasmine,
plants.
I've got a thing that says Ivy in front of me. Violet talks about how she has an event to go to. That's the Sporella Corset Factory.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And as I was watching it, I realized I have in my hand, if you're watching us on YouTube, I have medal from 1919 that is from the Spirella corset factory. It's some sort of competition that they did. It's one of those. It's one of the things that I do. I make jewelry out of these. Anyway, for the Brits, you know what these are. For the Americans, cool. They're little award medals. Isn't that cool?
That is very cool.
And I was like, hey, I have one of those. I have something from that company, which I thought was kind
that's
of fun.
Awesome.
Yeah, right. I thought the carrying through. Yeah, he's got his ivy plant. That's what we're.
His violet. Ivy. Ivy's plant. It was violets. They were violets.
They were violets. Ivy.
Ivy is his mother.
That's it. Oh, see, I thought it was an ivy plant. I honestly thought it was some sort of ivy.
Ivy's mother. Yeah, okay, and it was a pot of violets.
Got it. All right, thank you. With violets. And so I got too confused.
Trust the girls on the flowers.
Yeah, I'm with you on that now. Yeah, thank you for correcting me. But just the fact that he put that on the pillow, yeah. and I was going
tucked in.
Yeah, tucked in, and just the way you do it. Go ahead.
Every episode, I almost cry. Yeah. Like, I'm just like, oh, that was so beautiful. This episode, I actually shed tears.
Oh, no.
Shed tears. Yeah. I'll tell you at what point when we get there.
But I like to carry that through that. And then, of course, the bulbs carrying through as well.
Yeah. A gift. They were a gift for my mother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put them in the coffin.
So, and because, you know, when Fred and Vi have to go, they kind of go through the same thing with, well, tell them when you'll be back and everything.
Yes.
So I'm thinking, I'm hoping, yeah, please let that be enough. But they didn't say everything. So
soon as she said, we don't have time to make him toast.
Yeah.
No! No! I thought it was going to blow
and
up.
And it's funny because, you know, it's classic.
Yeah.
When you see it and you see him looking at the toast, you're going, and are you going, no, no, don't do it, don't
do that. Make the toast.
Yeah. And then when you see him seeing it, it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Thank God he got locked out.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Right?
You think it's a problem. But then, of course, we see him roaming the streets, and it's like, yeah. And, yeah, of course, some idiot on the street.
Some stupid little kid.
Yeah.
You got any money? I'm glad they left him alone. I thought
that's
they were going
to leave
him.
That's true. I thought they were
going to
go farther
something.
With that.
Yeah.
Going, oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
But thank God they didn't. But the tragic, that's when he's pounding on the door, where we the last time we saw the door, they were peering through the mail slot, and now he's pounding
on the door.
And
mom,
he still wants
let
mom.
Me in.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And so like, that sleep thing still hasn't fully registered?
No. No.
Yeah. That gutted me, that moment that when one? He was outside, you know, because he wants the comfort of home and mom.
Yeah.
And that moment just really gutted me. And then when
Fred
finally shows
you're
up.
You're safe now.
Yeah.
Touched his head because it was the same kind of like head hold that we had with the baby last week when the mom was giving her baby away, and it was too much, y'all.
But thank God he showed up when he did.
Everybody on the panel right now has tears in their eyes.
No.
You cold hearted.
No, you don't have them.
You
that's
do.
It. No.
I can see it.
No, not there.
I can see it.
No, it's
you
the
can
light.
See it on
you're
YouTube too.
It's like, alright, so where were we?
Then they go to the garden. Fred
oh,
takes
that's
him
right.
to the garden.
Yeah, because then we get that whole storyline going with the garden. Mm-hmm. And
pulling the weeds.
They're not weeds in Monica and John coming
no, they're
in.
They're not weeds.
Yeah, that was fun. And again, you know, because Monica Jones been out there a few. We've had her with the garden many times and stuff like that. But I also like that they kept the whole thing going with the jam and stuff like that.
Has your lady wife remembered to furnish you with some of her highly prized and most delicious jam?
Have you run out?
To which Fred says,
"Have you run out?
Yeah. It's something a puzzle else. That eludes me."
Yeah.
That's so ridiculously great.
Yeah, it is.
Isn't it the way he like plopped the jam out of his butt?
As a matter of fact,
sneaks it behind
under
his arm.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Love it.
They're so good.
They are so good. And then you're talking about the weeds and what's a weed. And for me, that very poetic thing that she says that we do nature a grave disservice when we apply restraint when there should be none.
Right.
Wonderfully poetic, and again, coming from Monica Joan, because of who she is and her character and stuff, when she just comes up with these, you're just going, first of all, it's brilliant.
With brilliant wisdom.
And it's poetic and everything, and you completely buy it. In the mouth of anybody else, it wouldn't be anywhere near as effective.
But with her,
she sees something else.
Yes, you get all introspective, like, I guess I didn't think about it
sees,
like that.
Yeah, because she sees beyond the ordinary, beyond the whatever, and, you know, because whatever her faculties are at the moment, the things that we would pay attention to, it's not interesting to her. She's looking at it from a different point of view, which I love.
Also, when they had the moment when she was deadheading the rose bushes.
Rose, yeah.
And And he's saying to her, you know, don't pull the flowers. Yeah. I think he said that to her. And he says, are they dead? And she says, well, now their time is gone.
Yes.
Will the flowers have a funeral? He talks about.
And they go back to the earth, as we all do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then they talk about the bulbs and how he wants to, yeah.
And he says, and she gives him the bag and stuff. And then we find that later because we're at the cemetery and the burial's happening. And he, of course, puts those in there. And I thought that was going to be the end of the bulbs there. So
yeah.
Right. But just talking about how Reggie and Monica Joan have a connection because it's that childlike innocence, just sort of purity where all the other detritus is.
Which is also why I was talking about the Mary Cynthia part, that innocence is one of our
indeed.
Own and all that other stuff. That's why she has a connection to Mary Cynthia as well, mm-hmm. I think. Because and Tom was talking about it, we've kept that childlike nature. So there's that theme running through.
Yeah.
So we have the barrel, and it's touching and sad, of course. But the other thing that was nice is in that burial, we get to see Reggie put his head on Vi's shoulder,
yes.
which is very similar to the head going on the pillow. And you're going, okay, there's some maternal thing
connection.
Going on there, and he's
mm-hmm.
trying to find. And, you know, Vi finally is making a slight turn because she's seeing him not just in the terms of how are we going to take care of him, but seeing him differently mm-hmm. now because he does need somebody. And I also like that moment when Fred comes back from Lynchmere after seeing Lynchmere, he's going, okay, that's not going there. And she's already made the turn because she goes, well, then I guess we'll have to do it.
He's going to have to stick with us.
She's already on board. And
he's
then
stuck with us.
Further on board when they're looking, you know, Sheila's showing him glass houses. No, not good enough.
But it was so great when she was hemming his pants.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he broke down crying because he was happy. Mm-hmm. And she got... See? It's happening again. As he said, because my mom's not here.
Yeah. And will she be angry?
Angry.
She's not here. Yeah. So, you know, because I went, oh, wow. I was not expecting that.
No, I wasn't expecting it at all. I thought he was going to be crying. Like, I didn't know. And then the fact that Vi had her moment, too, where she was sort of like, it's okay to be sad and sort of working through, like, oh, you see her start to open up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he's going to be a character. He's going to be here forever.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I was so excited.
Yeah, I was buying it full time. I think and hope
that he's going to be back, at least in some capacity in their family.
Well, because I really like the relationship between Monica Joan and him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that thing going on. Go ahead.
Yeah. Just the moment where Fred is saying that he needs to go check out Lynchmere.
Right, yes.
He goes and gets in the truck, in the van. Monica Joan's sitting there. Yeah, I'm here, she says.
Yeah.
I find two opinions are always better than one, particularly if one is mine.
I'm going to keep that line.
We all wrote it down again. I got to use that. I'm going to use that one.
Two opinions are always better than one,
particularly. And again, shot great, because the reveal was terrific. Open the door. There she is. It's like, of course she's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and it set up beautifully in the garden when they were talking about Lynchmere and stuff like that with Monica Joan, and then boom. All right, so that obviously takes us to Lynchmere. Lynchmere, was dismal. There are no gardens.
To prison.
It's
you know, I wondered. I'm sure someone knows this. I wonder if it's the same exact location that they used for the family, the abuser, the guy who got out of prison a couple weeks ago.
Right.
It felt like the same place to me.
Yeah, I thought, but they obviously used a different place. Not a different part of that. If it was the same place,
like,
because
place.
Where he came out was a totally different gate. But whatever.
Yeah.
But it still had. It had a lot of stone, a lot of bars, a lot of locks, and it's kind of like it's not Dickensian, but it's every horrible place that you can imagine where because he's not mentally ill, and you're going, and this is where they take care of him because this is the best option that we came up with.
Yeah,
and you're going, this is not the right place for this guy. He is not. He's not. Of this, but
he's not. As Sister Monica Joan said, isn't a hospital where they keep sick people.
Yeah, but the nurse also says, we keep the doors locked for their own safety. And we've already learned that there is some issues for safety for this person because we've got challenges going on.
Right.
So they're trying to make the argument both sides, but you're still looking at it going,
he would have a little bunk bed in the corner. Where is he going to read his comic book? Like, it's just awful.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. And then, of course, we have the Monica Joan thing and Julian, which we've already talked about. So we'll stay on Reggie for a bit because this is when they decide, okay, we're going to keep him. But then, of course, Sheila finds a place because she's looking. Obviously, we'll get to her storyline, but she's looking for houses and stuff. She finds that in the newspaper, and she's. I like when she's when Fred comes to her and she says, "Leave it with me."
With me.
I'll find something. And you know, diligently looking through things as she's looking for other things as well. She finds this place, and then we go there, and I was like. You know, of course, we get the polar opposite of Lynchmere. You're going, oh my God, it's so idyllic. It's a garden. It's a glass house.
He checked out a little girl. We were like, oh, he can get married and have love in his life. He wanted a friend. Because at first, I had resigned myself when he said he needed a friend. I was like, Monica Joan, you guys are going to be friends. It's going to be fine.
But then when he says to Fred, you're old. I don't have any friends. You're old.
You're old.
Yeah.
I need friends.
Yeah. Damn, but true.
And and the argument that Fred makes to Vi is that he does need friends. He's a young man. He needs to make his own choices.
Yeah.
And again, you see that part of it. You get to see that. Yeah. Well, you know, as much as you want to protect him,
right?
You know, is that just for you?
Yeah.
Or is what's best for him? So we get to see that place, and he does look like obviously he's when they ask what's his job, he's a gardener because
I'm a gardener. he talked about earlier how much he liked that. I could do that every day.
Yeah, and he had been because the plant was there from the beginning.
That's right.
Had that sprouting from the beginning, starting. Pardon the pun.
Yeah.
So yes, you were going to point something. Okay, and then as we're leaving, when we see Fred and Vi looking and walking away again, cutting that cord, and you know, I don't go. Part of me's going, no, don't leave it, take
don't
it home,
leave it. Yes,
did you guys want that?
It was making me sad.
But he's in a great place.
You know it. Yeah. You know he's where he needs to be.
Yeah.
But it was still sad.
Yeah.
And then Violet finds a little treasure in her purse.
They just want to rip her heart out every second. Bag. Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's what they do.
Just keep doing it.
And she plants them later.
And she plants them, and then they're growing. She has a three. They sprouted.
That was a very full storyline.
Yes, it was.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it was.
Yeah, it took some time with that one, which was, you know, was nice. And, you know, never overdone, though. It took some time. It was quite full.
It's full and thoughtful.
And I thought, you know, the fact that they gave Vi the full-on arc on that thing.
Yeah.
She had more of an arc than Fred.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the reluctant to the, you know, this is the place, you know, not wanting him, and then letting him go.
Yes.
So we had the full cord cutting, the whole theme, her little. And in terms of screen time, not much screen
not
time.
Not much.
At all.
And I wasn't like, see, she turned already. Like, they nursed that very well. Mm-hmm. And it was very tenderized and delicious.
Tenderized. Something
you're funny.
It was so good.
Tenderized. Something you could sink your teeth into.
Yeah.
Sorry, that leads us to our next storyline.
Which I watched with one eye closed most of it.
It
Williams
was rough.
That was tough.
Super rough.
It was extremely difficult. Okay. Yeah.
Crystal
Williams.
Who's the most miserable woman in Poplar.
Yeah. I should have had a warning for this one. I had started eating my lunch. It's like, wow.
And again, we get the Poplar, we get the family. That, you know, they have, four kids, I think, right now?
Yeah, it was already four.
I wasn't sure. And, you know, they're running around crazy and stuff like that, and she's the most miserable. And I'm going, it's because she's got four kids.
Yeah. In one room, by the way.
Yeah, in one room. Another one on the way. And, you know, it's just crazy and mayhem and chaos.
Who wouldn't be miserable?
Mm-hmm. like we've seen other fathers, but great dad, partner.
Doing his part, absolutely.
Working hard.
And, you know, when she goes through the thing about the teeth and how, you know, first of all, trying to get him to pull it, I'm going, no. Were you already freaking out when he had the pliers?
Number one fear of mine, dentist.
Thank you! Yes! Thank you! People think I'm insane. I'm like, I'll go to the gynecologist 800 times more before I have to go to the dentist. I cannot stand it. It's awful.
Same. I once had to rank all my fears. Number one, dentist. So, I really did. I was, and, you know, thank God they validated us, Courtney.
Yes, I felt
really
great.
To talk about how common our fear is.
Yeah.
And, you know, for Crystal, I'm not going to go to one of those butchers. So, clearly, she's had the same experience
or
that I have had.
Stories.
And, or heard horror stories.
Or just horror stories about them.
Horror stories.
But, you know, I mean, let's face it, the dentistry has come a long way since
I can't even imagine what they were doing back
then. But it is, I mean, how desperate do you have to be to give the pliers to your spouse and go, yank these.
Lives were pretty desperate and popular.
Yeah, I know, but even still.
Absolutely.
That's rough.
I mean, no question.
I can't wait for you to let me take my pliers to
just rip them out
the next time you need a crown, Tim.
Beat it. Beat it, John.
But, okay, but a visceral reaction when we get to see your mouth, and so, and you're going, whoa, okay, I was not ready for that.
I didn't need that.
Yeah.
That would have been
quite frankly, I didn't even watch it. I closed my eyes and fast-forwarded.
And I'm just going, oh my God. Like, and then, you know, you learn that she's got abscesses. She's getting, you're going, how much pain is that? And of course, she's carrying the kids and all this stuff. And I'm going, she does not need this.
And, right. And can you imagine having such an infection in your body and being pregnant? You can't.
No, I can't.
And being pregnant, how that has got to just tax your system. I mean, Trixie talked about how the pain was probably raising
her blood pressure.
But I mean, just having that level of infection in your body has got to be so bad in so many ways.
Yeah.
And, you know, your teeth are just so integral to the
your
whole
overall health.
Health.
And that's what I was thinking. It's like, oh my God.
How,
I don't know what's
is there danger?
Doing.
No.
Yeah.
Heart attack.
And
yeah,
I was thinking because I remember making, I'm going, wait, she's got four kids, one on the way. I'm going, is she headed?
See, I thought she was going to drop dead.
But as soon as Ivy did, I go, okay, the crystal's safe.
The crystal's okay. Because
we can't have two of these.
About her bleeding out. But
I thought was... Yeah.
Oh, good Lord.
But she's so afraid, and she doesn't go to the hospital. She goes to the clinic, and that's what I guess we get. And, of course, Winifred has her new assignment there.
She's
so excited to work with teeth. And I'm going...
She has a very toothy smile, too.
She does.
Very enthusiastic
why she's
toothy
into
smile,
it.
Yes, I love it.
And she's with Dr. Dockerel.
Dreamy Dr.
Dreamy.
Dockerel.
Is he dreamy?
He's cute.
I don't like his lab coat, but, you know.
Yeah.
No,
but he's good with the kids, and he's having a good time there. And, you know, we got to see the little sparks flying. Even though she was chiding him for, you know, making noise and all this other stuff. And playing games with the kids.
She was trying to work.
Yeah, but...
Obviously, no one likes dentists.
As luck would have it, you know, even though she didn't go to the hospital, guess what? We just happen to have a dentist here. On site. So that's how we get the doctor taking a look. And, you know, he's really good when he goes in there, which is, you know, because was it last week where he had the horrible doctor in the bedside manner?
Yeah,
and this week he's a dentist, but a great bedside manner.
Yeah.
I won't even touch you. I'll just take a look.
Open your mouth.
Yeah,
and he goes like this. Wow, poker face on that one, right?
Yeah.
Really? He didn't even budge.
But he had a slight tail because we were going, yeah.
Scary.
So, ending, you do need to come in.
Right away.
Yes, you do. Yeah. Sooner the better.
So, and of course, she does. Now, I'm not exactly sure why he didn't take care of things the first time, because he obviously knew how bad it was. But I guess, what was he counting? The cavities or how many teeth had to be removed or whatever?
You wouldn't know those, been to the dentist very often. Each tooth has a number. And so he was calling his assistant, which tooth, you know, this tooth and this one. He was calling out the ones that needed to be...
I counting on cavities or something.
He was calling on the teeth that were needing to be pulled.
Got it. And then,
three and four and five
so gross.
And six and seven.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay. And then that happens. All right. So we'll just get to
pulling
it.
Them all.
Pull
again,
them all.
And then again, I had a nice call the midwife montage of teeth pulling and pulling weeds.
And I caught it with weeds and then looking for cute houses. Like, I don't want to see these teeth dead in a bowl.
And I kept going, they kept one, then there's another, and there's another. And it just kept going, how many we have to see?
He's pulling all of them.
Yeah.
That was rough.
I'm not commenting because I didn't watch it.
And they were... Terrible.
It was terrible.
They
it was horrible.
Terrible.
And I can't imagine the amount of pain she was going through. Not only, I'm talking about before, when all of this, I don't know what kind of experience that is, and then to have that all happen. But then, you know, I have to say, she sure enjoyed the gas when she woke up.
Yes, she did. Hey, you know what's really good after you have mouth trauma?
No.
Tea.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I remember friends who had lots of teeth pulled, and they have you... chew on tea bags because the tannins in the tea it's actually good for almost any trauma in your mouth
is just
to get like a tea bag and put it in there.
I'm sure the English know this well, but that's
more for the Americans who probably don't know that. Black tea.
All right. So she has that done. When she gets home, Winifred is teaching all the kids because, you know, prior to that.
Mom tried to teach the kids. And they're brushing each other's backs.
Yeah.
But
Winifred, she's got some sort of magic with the kids. With the teeth.
Some kind of song, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
No doubt.
Brush them.
Grease.
Yeah. Thanks. Appreciate you knowing that. All right. So, and of course, she's going to get her dentures. And, you know, but prior to that, she's out in the hallway with the...
Bleeding
and stuff, and then
and getting sick.
Oh my god, yeah! But it's not not just sick, but now we're having
going
water breaks.
Like,
but again, I'm going. At least she's in the hospital.
Yeah, oh, dreamy doctor dentist is there, and he's not letting her go.
No, but I have to monitor the
bleeding.
Right. So, how much of that was true, and how much of it was I would like to be in the same room as Trixie.
No, I thought he was. I thought he was legit. I thought he was really concerned about that. Yeah, but because I didn't really see him nod to that until pretty much later.
No. Okay.
Yeah, but who knows?
Trixie is quoted as saying, "Obviously, no one likes dentists."
Yeah, that was
true. Like, "I'm gonna make you like me." I was just I was amazed though that they could just like roll up to a delivery room with a dentist and everybody can just be there and let Trixie deliver the baby.
That's hospital practice.
Hey, okay. She's done her own.
C-section.
Thank you.
True.
Yeah. So she's got privileges at this hospital.
Yes,
let's put it that way.
She's got hospital privileges. Yeah.
But even that. Oh, well done. Well done. Yeah, I have done this before.
I have done this before.
Very sassy, as Tammy was.
Yes,
she was sassy. They were both sassy. Everybody was sassy. In that.
It was a good one.
But of course, that leads to. And I thought, well, he didn't wait too long. I mean, right in the hallway. Hey, since we've birthed the baby together, we don't have to be so formal.
My name is Christopher.
Christopher.
I'm Beatrix. They call me Trixie.
Beatrix. Gives her name. Because they weren't being so formal. Beatrix.
Yes. Yep.
So they got to go out on a date.
They're
so we like this pairing?
On a date.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
I think they're good together so far.
Yeah. All right. So it's got a convertible.
Yeah, nice guy. Nice,
nice
ride.
Little sports car.
Nice ride.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Found which apparently comes up in the next episode.
Yeah. Let's see.
We'll see them all down.
Yeah.
I like it. I think it's cute.
Yeah. I also like the way that Barbara and Trixie were getting together. Bringing the dress back because we saw it at the beginning of the episode, now we see it at the end. So that's happening, and you know, she's doing her nails, talking about, you know,
eating snails
and the whole thing,
how important to have a good manicure.
We're right back to being Trixie.
Yes, indeed.
And then they go out on their date. Alright, so we got a couple things to cover before we get out of here, because we have
the Turners.
We have the Turners. So let's talk to them now, since we were... part of the other thing is the Winifred, because she had all those props that she... Dr. Rose talking about all the props that she has. Yeah, she can't put them on the bike, and she... and then, of course, Phyllis gives her a ride. She's paying attention to everything. And then I thought that really awkward but kind of fun scene with Sister Julian and Phyllis and Sister Winifred.
And the giant book.
I have no idea what the book is about.
It's a log of some sort.
Yeah.
But
I'm saying, what is that book? Is that book going to come back?
I'm sure someone will.
It's a Gutenberg Bible or something.
She just wanted to learn.
Yeah, and she's so excited that Phyllis can't refuse. And I'm going, no, Phyllis, you can refuse.
Yeah, I know. In my car.
Yeah.
Because there is no outfit.
Oh, yeah, but she was, the glee on her face when she got it into gear and was moving. It's like, oh, boy, here
very,
we go.
Very, very exciting.
But I thought which I thought it was nice that they tied in, is that she was so afraid of it before, but because of the way I'm talking about Winifred, what she's learned by being at Anata's house and working and being with these women, is that now's the time. You have to seize the day. She's now got courage and stuff. And we've seen that as a running theme throughout, because they all start to grow in these ways and stuff like that because of their experience with these women. So I thought that was nice that they brought that full circle there.
Girl power.
Yeah. Sorry, John.
All right. Speaking of girl power, before we get to the Turners, let's talk about Valerie's first day. She shows up.
Yes.
And who better to welcome her? I love the way Julian, welcome to Nanatsa's house. Yeah, it takes her to her cell.
Room.
I'm sorry, her room.
That
she's sharing with Trixie. And I'm going,
thought
oh, boy.
I was gonna have my own
Trixie's room. Yeah. And she snores. I'm going, oh, she's a
snorer. Is that really?
Do you think that was real?
I was like,
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't think so
you
either.
Think she just wanted her own kids. She probably used to her own room. But she was in the Army. I'm sure she's used to it.
It's going
to
turn into something else.
Like
she has like nightmares or something crazy.
It's
going to
be something.
She's trying to kill her.
But just the way she goes to the armoire and takes
just
the closet.
Just takes it out. I was like, roommate 101, do not touch my stuff. Fail. But go Trixie for being sweet about it.
Yeah. A little misdirection, because I thought Trixie was going to go at her.
I thought she was going to go at her.
They're having their little... moment with Delia and Barbara, and they're sharing their biscuits and the crumbs.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I don't think so.
I wouldn't be kidding. just throw my stuff out the closet.
Thank God she brought the broken biscuits. So
they're delicious.
They were delicious. Don't be daft.
Don't be daft. Don't be daft. Twice.
And just that moment, carrying the Valerie scene to Monica. I know we talked a little bit, but when Monica Jones sees her, recognizes
yes!
her.
Yes.
And, you know, which I don't think you could have done that with any other character. I wouldn't have bought it. But for some reason, Monica Jones recognizes her and how, but I don't know. And the fact that she said that I was with your mother and so with Evangeline.
Sister Evangeline.
Sister Evangeline. Yeah. That was nice too.
And missed her.
Yeah. That's like a nice callback.
And I cut your cord.
Cut your cord. That theme coming back through. All right, we've got to go in about 5 minutes here, so let's talk Sheila and Dr. Turner.
Okay.
Because clearly their place needs tidying up.
It's a mess.
It's a mess.
And that's great. That second time when the kid is like, where are my shorts? Why don't you know where anything is? Ever. Like, it's a mess. It's not my fault.
Yeah. When did this start happening?
That's so great.
Yeah. Like mom gets pregnant, can't do anything for a little bit. What, you guys can't, you know, step up and clean up the place?
Nope.
And I was like, I wanted to see the mess.
I did. By that second time, I definitely wanted to see the mess. For sure.
Like, really, you can't find a cricket bat?
It's tough.
So, all right. But now we do see them at the news. So they're moving out to the suburbs.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Out of Poplar. I'm wondering how that's going to affect them.
I know.
I got three kids. So I got three kids now. They're moving into something bigger. Obviously, they don't have enough.
Furniture's going to drown.
Yeah, and then is that going to change their perspective when they move out of the?
Yeah, will they be less connected to the community?
It'd be interesting to see how moving. And but of course, we saw a lot of these things happening. People moving out of the cities and all that sort of stuff. So we'll see how that affects them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Sister
Julianne, I have some news, but Sister Julianne asking to release Mary Cynthia.
Oh,
and gets rejected by that nurse, and she was so condescending to her.
Yeah, and I was a little bit surprised that she didn't put up a bigger fight.
A little bit.
Well, she's gonna, though.
Yeah, I know, but because the way she's been, with Ursula, she was really, stirred ground on certain things and stuff like that. All right, but so you have news, Tamara?
I do.
Let's get some news.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Okay, you guys, it is reported that Miranda Hart, who plays Chummy, was too ill to return to Call the Midwife this year.
Wow.
44-year-old actress was meant to reprise her role for the Christmas special and for the rest of Series 6, but the show was thrown into chaos in the latter end of last year when she pulled out of the program at the last minute due to a mystery ailment.
I hope she's doing better.
Oh, no.
She said, I don't feel myself at the moment because I was ill last year and I wasn't able to exercise.
Mm.
I can relate. Yes. I had a mystery illness myself. Her cancellation meant that Heidi Thomas had to rewrite the episodes frantically and very late, weeks before filming.
We think that's why Valerie's
filming. Possibly. Yeah. We knew that Miranda said that it's with a heavy heart, having shared Chummy's return to Call the Midwife, I've not been able to give birth, pun intended, the schedule to make it work. She was also scheduled to do a show called The Generation Game, a show called Up Pompeii, and she pulled out from hosting the Royal Variety Performance in December because of this illness. So she said that although she's had a tough time recently, she now feels fit and well. Her spokesperson said she has lots of upcoming projects, included making her West End debut playing her dream role of Miss Hannigan in a new production of Annie.
Very nice.
She says, I have a new spring in my step because of it.
Oh, great. Oh, good. We're glad she's going
Call the Midwife continued to be the week's top drama with 9.1 million viewers and a 38.6 share in its time. Quick shout-outs, KLX07. If Sister Mary Cynthia dies or becomes a potato, you can forget about Trixie being sober.
Becomes a potato.
Medusa 234 saying, I had no idea you guys were doing Call the Midwife show. Super excited. So it's a fan of ours, from Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
Creative Sunny, Broadsword Calling Danny Boy, other shout-outs, Lee Ferguson, Anna M. and Anna C., Helena Huang, Catherine Smith, Rational Joke Plan, Rational Plan 1 and Joke,
and we hope Caroline feels better.
Yeah, we hope Caroline feels better.
Better.
So that's all right. It for news, right?
All right, what are we hoping for? Do we have any predictions? Anybody that offer anything? Any ideas? Did we get any new?
No, we didn't get any new ones from fans. But we've got, you know, in the coming ups, we see the Cuban Missile Crisis is going to be occurring. Right. Also, female genital mutilation being a subject. And I think I think they're going to be breaking out Mary Cynthia.
Well, that's what I'm hoping. Not a prediction so much.
But
as,
would it be like cheese? Because I'm like, I want it, but like, I don't know how they will do it without it being a cheese fest. Like, I feel like
I agree.
Like a caper film.
I agree.
Yeah.
Not a breakdown. I want somebody kicking down a door.
Went in the room. Yeah. Like, I feel like they got to zap her at least once. Oh, and no, she's going to be like out of it.
That's already happened. Yeah. It's already happened.
But then she's going to be a potato.
No, not necessarily.
Well, we don't know. We don't know how, we don't know at what level this happened. We don't know the effect of it. And sometimes it doesn't create vegetation.
No, of course. So, they wouldn't continue to do it if it ruined every
But there's something about her being in jeopardy that I want somebody kicking down a door. I want somebody's ass dragged on the carpet. I you know, that's what I'm, and again, it's not a prediction. It's just like, I want someone to get chewed out.
To stand up for her.
Yeah. I want her taken out. I want her in and out. In the Nasa's house where she could be taken care of properly and she can
heal. Compassion and sympathy matter.
Yeah,
so
whatever.
Do you think that because Dr. Turner is out of town now or out of Poplar, that might contribute to something involving Mary Cynthia? Not necessarily.
No,
okay. Because this is a prediction we just got that that possibly Dr. Turner being far away. I mean, I'm sure that that's going to be an issue. I was just thinking of maybe connecting it to Mary Cynthia. Yeah. Maybe she has, I don't know, brain bleed. I don't know. I don't want to say.
But I can see Sister Julian, because she didn't stand up so forcefully this week, I can see her standing up and not leaving and getting her, I don't know how. I'm just saying, I don't know, just dragging her out.
And also because she was being kind of soft when they took her away in the first place.
Yes, but,
I don't think she's going to allow it to happen again, because I trusted last time and this is what happened. I'm not leaving this time.
And didn't she say something to the effect of till she needs us or wants us back or whatever? If she's getting shocked, she can't make those decisions for herself at all anymore. So maybe
Well, she did make the decision. She said, I don't want it. And they still did it.
Yeah.
So. Rats.
All right. We're running late, so we got to get out of here.
I'm on Twitter at Tamara Berg. My website is TamaraCentral.com. Thanks, you guys.
I'm everywhere at Stuart Starlet, reading next week.
And I'm only here.
I'm so three scared. More episodes.
That's right. We'll see you next time for an after show for Call the Midwife.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.